Well, good morning to you all, and welcome to worship today. Thank you to the songsters for that lovely reminder. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above, so thank the Lord for all his love. And that's why we're here today, to thank the Lord for all he has given us. And today is a harvest celebration. As you can see around us, we have lots of lovely decorated windows, and we're very grateful to all those who've made the extra effort to make our hall look so beautiful. It's great, wonderful. Let's start by sharing some words together from Psalm 103. This is from the Passion Translation, and I'm just reading some selected verses. With my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, the Holy God. Yahweh, you are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness you've done for me? You kissed my heart with forgiveness, in spite of all I've done. You've healed me inside and out from every disease. You've rescued me from hell and saved my life. You've crowned me with love and mercy. You satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. You're a God who makes things right, giving justice to the defenseless. You unveiled to Moses your plans and showed Israel's sons what you could do. Lord, you're so kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it, and so patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flowing river, overflowing its banks with kindness. You don't look at us only to find our faults, just so that you can hold a grudge against us. But Lord, your endless love stretches from one eternity to the other, unbroken and unrelenting toward those who fear you and those who bow face down in awe before you. Your faithfulness to keep every gracious promise you've made passes from parents to children to grandchildren and beyond. You are faithful to all those who follow your ways and keep your word. God's heavenly throne is eternal, secure, and strong, and his sovereignty rules the entire universe. So bless the Lord, all his messengers of power, for you are his mighty heroes who listen intently to the voice of his word to do it. Bless and praise the Lord, you mighty warriors, ministers who serve him well and fulfill his designs. I will bless and praise the Lord with my whole heart. Let all his works throughout the earth, wherever his dominion stretches, let everything bless the Lord. Amen. And as we come together this morning, we're going to sing and share together in our first song, a very classic harvest song, Bringing in the Sheaves. And while we do this, as is tradition here, all of the Sunday school children and others who might have been roped in, they're going to bring their gifts to us in the form of food, and they're going to lay it at the front here in front of this magnificent display. I think that might be down to Carolyn. Is it Carolyn? Thank you so much again, it's lovely. So while we sing, we'll be upstanding to sing, the band will help us. And as we do so, the children will come and bring their gifts in together. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you very much. I think the Lord got it wrong. It's the harvest of the seas next Sunday. He sent the rain the wrong week. Hello, here comes a carrot and a... Oh, thank you very much. Any more? Oh, thank you. Well, thank you very much. Those of you who are old, like me, you'll look at the harvest and you'll think about years gone by. In the Salvation Army, they used to fill the platform with harvest stuff, and then on the Monday we used to have the sale and we'd bid for it. And people would pay pounds for a carrot because they didn't like the other person in the corps and they didn't want them to get the carrot. And it raised a lot of money, it was fantastic. But thank you very much indeed. But also today, we have an opportunity to give our altar service envelopes back. And in a few moments, the band will play, and they'll keep playing until you've brought your envelope forward. Earlier in the year, you gave a tremendous amount of money, which went for the Salvation Army's work abroad in Uganda and Africa, places such as that. But the altar service that you're bringing this morning, 25% of it goes to the divisional office so they can keep working. But 75% of your gift remains here with us in Felixstowe for us to do what is needed in Felixstowe. So you're helping, definitely helping local people when you bring forward your gift. So we're not going to sing while you bring it out, but if you watch me for instructions, the band will continue playing, and if I point to you, that's your side to come out and lay your gift on the Bible, then I'll point to each side. So watch for the signs and the band will play to us. If they've got their envelopes this morning, to come forward now and place it on the table. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you for the fact that we have a generous church. People within this church who are always willing to give to help those who are less fortunate. This morning, as we have placed our gifts upon the altar, I ask you to receive them. And we ask that they will be used wisely so that people in this town of ours will benefit from it. So, Lord, accept our gifts because we love you. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, in ways that are diverse and rich, we feel ourselves to be truly blessed. Creation's beauty is reminded of God's grace, with the sky shifting clouds, the majesty of mountains, the rhythmic sounds of flowing and ebbing. We see the unseeable God in harvest moon and vermilion sunset, and nature's abundance of flowers and birds. We thank you for the blessing of fruitful beauty. God of all nations and all people, thank you for the gift of communication, through words spoken and written, through sign and picture, through emotion, gesture, expression and movement, through rhythm, music and song. Help us truly listen, learn and share life with one another.
God of togetherness, thank you for the gift of community, for places we can belong. Thank you for communities offering safe harbour and true friendship, each sharing their gifts and personalities, each bringing so much of worth to one another. Be their hope as they invite all to live with respect, acceptance and love. God of all life, who leads us on paths that are sometimes hard, sometimes steep and sometimes scary, give us wisdom to follow you. Courage to be by your side, knowing that we never face difficulties alone. Hope that we can make good choices and good decisions, right for our own lives, our energy and our needs. We pray for your protection and blessing upon all who face changing and challenging circumstances at this time. We especially remember those who have begun new academic years at universities, colleges and schools. Grant them courage to trust in your promises and perseverance when the road ahead is difficult.
We pray for Her Majesty the Queen, and we pray for our nation at this time of uncertainty, when divisions seem to grow deeper, ever deeper. In leadership, in debate and in decision making, we pray for wisdom, understanding, courage and compassion, and your fairness and grace. God of the soul, we bring to you the suffering of the world. We are mindful of those broken by life's events, by hardships, injury, unkindness or abuse. We pray for all who work in caring professions, for the services which seek to soothe and heal the sickness of body, mind and spirit.
We are mindful of the area we live in, which is dependent on the sea. We pray for the seafarers who pass through the port, some of whom are away from their homes for up to 9 months of the year. May the fishermen be mindful that you are always with them as they go out to sea, so that we may enjoy the benefits of their catch. We think of all the farmers in our area who work long hours to provide the products for our tables. May the fruits of their labours enable us to share together to further your kingdom. These prayers we offer in Jesus' name, and in his words we will sum up all our prayers, saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
Sheena, thank you, Jim, for leading us in prayer this morning. It's good to be with you. You've already been welcomed, but I welcome you as well. It's great to see you here this morning. Here's an opportunity to sing again. If you'd like to stand on your feet, I'm going to sing a lively, happy, joyous song. So if you want to clap your hands, if you want to dance, probably not going to be modelled from here. But if you'd like to do that, you go for it. Let's stand together. Let's follow the worship band, please, and they'll lead us straight through this song.
You came and rescued me, reached down into the pit and lifted me. Oh Lord, such love, I was as far from you as I could be. You know all the things I've ever done, but Jesus' blood has battled everyone. Oh Lord, such grace to qualify
introduce to you the theme of eating together. And we rather thought that that might fit quite nicely with harvest. And this morning is an introduction to that. And then there's an opportunity to explore that more within Sunday morning sessions together and through small group studies. So here is just a very short video to show to you, produced by the Evangelical Alliance, where they've asked people who base some of their ministry around food to share some of their stories with you. And this is Lynette's story.
Singaporeans will often say that their whole lives are about food. My name is Lynette, and this is my story of food and faith. A huge turning point in my life was when I came to Britain as an international student. As I got to know friends at university, I got to know lots of people from different countries, different backgrounds, and the one thing that always united us was sitting down and sharing food together. And that gave us the basis of sharing life and talking much more deeply together. I had a friend from Brunei who had lots of meals with us, and through that, you know, started to really ask myself and a couple of other Christian girls, well, what is it you believe, and why does Jesus make such a difference in your life? And through those conversations, being able to share with her who Jesus was, and she gave her life to Christ at the end of our first term. As you share a meal together, you can pour out the things that really matter to you, the things that are on your heart. And God, I think, has used those moments to minister His grace. Although there are thousands and thousands of international students in this country, almost 80% or 90% never get invited into a British home. A number of years ago, when our children were very small, we invited a whole group of international students around for a meal. But we had more students than we'd anticipated. We had the children kind of actually being quite patient, but as children would be, you know, banging on the table. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is such a terrible demonstration of family life. This is so messy, it's so awful. But at the end of the meal, as we were washing up, the girl I was washing up with just started chatting with me about her life. A few months after that, she rang us up and said, you know, since that day, I've really been thinking, I want a family life like that too. And I was really stunned. It was so chaotic. But she said there was something there. I don't know what it was. There was something different. And I'd really like to know more about Jesus. Eating together is very biblical. Jesus did it. But it's right through the Old Testament as well. I think God uses food as a bridge very often to speak His love, His care, His sustenance, and His hospitality into other people's lives.
So if that interests you, have a look on the internet. There's a few of those videos and a lot around that project called Just Eat. I'm going to ask the singing company, please, to come and sing for us. They're going to come and share a song this morning, simply titled Harvest Song. Thank you. Singing Company, Kirsty and Glynis, for sharing that with us this morning. That was great. We're going to sing again in a moment, and we're also going to ask our children and young people to go out to their time together as they gather in separate rooms. So before we sing, let's just pray for our young people, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the young people that are in this place. We thank you for who they are and who you've made them to be. And so this morning we pray as they share in different spaces together that they will learn more about that, learn more about their identity in you, and learn more about just how much you love them. We pray for their leaders. We thank you for them and the investment that they put into this time. And we pray that it will have been a good time together. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? We're going to sing a song. I thought I might get in trouble if we didn't sing this song this morning. So we're going to take the opportunity to sing We Plough the Fields and Scatter. And we'll also pass the plate round at this point and take our regular offering. Please do stand. Let's sing this song straight through together. Thank you.
Outside, and although it's not pouring with rain, it is still raining, and the conditions on the triangle are a bit puddly, so we will not venture out for the open air, plus the fact we're very short-handed, but we shall be there next week, I'm sure. The Lord will send the sunshine after the rain. So I can now tell you that Following our meeting this morning, you can join us for tea and coffee, and there is some harvest cake. Harvest cake is being made by Paul, so I shouldn't chance it. But, Mrs. Paul. And so you can try it for yourself and let me know what you think after you've tried it. And tea and coffee is available. That's in the community hall straight behind you there. This evening we have an extra harvest meeting. We have the Unified Choir from the Salvation Army in Chelmsford who are going to come through the storms and flames and water, and they're going to give us a harvest concert. Now, don't think, oh well, 5:30's a bit early, I haven't had my tea. We've catered for that. From 4:30, it may say 5:30 in the brochure, from 4:30 there will be tea, coffee and cakes, homemade cakes, available for anyone to come along, have your tea here, then stay to tonight's concert at 5:30. I appreciate your support, I'm sure you'll give it to us tonight. Friends Together on Wednesday, we have Major Susan Jones, who's the divisional leader. She'll be leading Friends Together. Noah's Ark, very apt for today, but it's on Thursday, and the children will know about that. On Thursday, there's a special harvest festival at 5 o'clock. It's the Explorers Harvest Festival, and Explorers is growing. It's in the 20s now, and we're expecting them and their parents, and many children from schools have been invited. And though it's the children, you're all invited to come along. And following that, there will be a finger buffet in the community hall. So it'll be a good night out for you. I ask you to look at page 4 when you go home. I think it's page 4 in the brochure, where you will see from now on, each week or each month, we'll be putting in a report about the children in Uganda who we have sponsored to go to school. And this, today, it's Gertrude. She's in year 2, and she's going back to school after having a baby. And the previous sponsor probably wasn't happy with it and said they couldn't help her anymore. But we've stepped in, and she's going back to school. So you'll see reports from them at various times during the next month or so. Finally, the big collection. It's over. But it starts again on Monday for next year. Unfortunately. But, you know, we've had a lot of problems with cold calling areas in the town. The fact is that within our church, those who are of age, who are young and sprightly, also have full-time jobs, and they don't get home until 5:30 at night, which is just too late to go out. And those of us at the other end, as old fogies, we're getting too old to go out knocking on doors in the dark. And so we had to try something different this year. And we tried having coffee mornings, we tried the Poundland box, which did almost £1,000. That was great. And so we tried other ways. And I had a target in my mind of 6,500. Well, we didn't do that. We actually raised 7,700. Now that's good news. It's good news for us, but it's bad news for our new officer because he's got to get it next year.
Morning. I apologise for my croaky voice. The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 15. Verses 11 to 32. Now, this is a very familiar reading, but I often find, and I'm sure you do, that when you look into a familiar reading, something new strikes you each time. This is the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine is dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed a fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' Amen."
Thank you, Mark. I always wonder if you are new to our language, what you really think when somebody says there'll be a finger buffet tonight. Sorry, just an aside. If you don't understand that, there's food to come and eat, not fingers, okay? So you're very welcome tonight. Lots of opportunities this week to eat together. That wasn't necessarily what we planned, but that's good. So this morning we talk about food. Food. So, I'm walking towards you with a microphone. You're all going, "No, here he comes again." If I were to say that this lunchtime was the last ever meal that you'll eat on this planet, and you can have whatever you like, and money and resource is not a limit, what would you eat? Your last ever meal. Caroline, what would you eat?
A steak with pepper sauce and a jacket of potatoes and vegetables.
How'd you have your steak?
Medium.
Do we agree with medium steak?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a few fun words. John, what would you eat? Last ever meal.
I'm not a big eater. Plate of cornflakes.
Exciting as ever. John P. What would you have, John?
Is my wife here? Oh, she is. Well, it better be herbs and vegetables. And
John, I said last ever meal.
Oh, it'd have to involve chips.
Okay.
Definitely have to involve chips. Let's just go for fish and chips.
Fish and chips?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Mushy peas. Definitely mushy peas.
Mushy peas has divided the room, John. Charlotte, last one. What would you go for?
Just a classic roast dinner.
Roast dinner. Look at that. Do you know what? That has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about this morning, but I thought I'd be nosy. And we're talking about food, so that's good, isn't it? Harvest today, we celebrate God's bountiful provision for our lives. And often we associate that to food, and rightly, because we're in a farming community and a farming county, and of course the harvest is ever so important to many people who work in this area. But we're really talking about God's bountiful provision for our lives. Thomas, are we on the PowerPoint? Good name. There we go. I'm sure lots of you have heard about Alpha. Alpha is a movement that has seen millions, literally millions of people, hear the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a course that's now translated into 112 different languages. I think that's pretty amazing. What's at the heart of Alpha? Anybody shout out? What's right at the very heart of Alpha? I thought somebody would say food. No, it's Jesus. Come on. It's Jesus. Right at the very heart of Alpha, but food plays an important part. Okay, you're right to say that. Alpha sets out to share Jesus in an accessible, welcoming, non-judgmental environment. And that usually does include food. Sorry, this is really tiny. I don't expect you to read that. But Alpha, on their website, this is a direct take from their website, talks about what Alpha is. And it says that no two Alphas are ever the same, but that they have a number of things that are in common. One of those being that they share food, and that they also share a talk. And when they break some of these down, they break food down, and they simply say that Alpha is a great way to build community and to get to know each other, particularly the element of sharing food in that place. Now, what things in the Salvation Army are we brilliant at? Lots of participation this morning. What are we really good at in the Salvation Army? Cups of tea, okay. Anything else? That's it? Just a cup of tea? Music, okay, I wondered if that might be said. Anything else? Saving people, thank you, John. Good. God does the saving, but through the Salvation Army. Absolutely. We're good at rattling tins in people's faces, aren't we? And at their doors, we just talked about that. But we serve those who are lost and in need of direction. And how often some of those things that we've talked about, even a cup of tea, just the opportunity to share food and time together, and how critical and essential that can be. I think the last time I spoke, I mentioned a quote from one of the former popes, and it was in relevance to us talking about serving each other, but he said something like, you know, we pray for the hungry and then we feed them, and that's how prayer works. And following that, Major Doug sent me a really encouraging message, which I was really grateful for, and he also told me of a William Booth quote. He did a bit of digging around and searching it out, and I think this was the one, Doug. You cannot warm the hearts of people with God's love if they have an empty stomach and cold feet. He came up with some crackers, William Booth. If you haven't seen a lot of the things that he said, some amazing things that he said, but so true, isn't it? You cannot warm the hearts of people with God's love if they have an empty stomach and cold feet. And my mind wandered at this point when I'd reread this, and thankfully Doug had sent this through to me, and I remembered Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Something locked in here from when I was studying sociology, but if you haven't encountered Maslow before, he's a pretty well-known psychologist. And back in 1943, he presented a paper called A Theory of Human Motivation. And he came up with this concept, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's a suggestion that we move through this process in life. But what's right at the very bottom, the basic physiological needs of life, in the purple section, if you can't read it, says food, water, warmth, and rest. Forget right at the top. Self-actualization, looking to achieve one's full potential. Actually, to get anywhere near that, we've got to meet people's physiological needs. And food sits right in there. So whilst sitting at the table and eating food is definitely not the reason why so many people have heard about Jesus through the Alpha course, it's undoubtedly part of a formula. It's part of something that's tried and tested and has worked. Sharing food, sharing meals together plays a massive part in forming community and breaking down barriers. See, I want my life to be about building bridges, not walls. What about you? I want to build bridges, not walls. And actually, if having a good meal with someone is a bridge, let's get cooking, hey? Let's do that together. Now, Luke was really keen to place food and eating together at the heart of his discipleship community that he describes in his gospel. So in the Gospel of Luke, there's something like 60 references to food and drink,
and 10 occasions where Jesus is seen sharing a meal, recorded the most in that gospel of any of the four. Eating together was definitely a holy habit of the early church, and following in the footsteps of Jesus, the early Christians refused to discriminate against the marginalized. There's an author, he's a trainer, he's a church planter and a church leader. His name is Santos Yao, and he's written a book that's called Table Fellowship with the Marginalized. And he said this quote: "Their table fellowship was characterized by acceptance and egalitarianism." Don't worry, I looked it up. Egalitarianism. Belief in the equality of all people. All people are equal and deserve equal rights and opportunities. That's what he was saying. He was saying that at the table, all are welcome. Maybe there lies a challenge for some Christian communities. I could talk this morning about lots of genuine, fresh expressions of church that exist around food. We don't have the time to look at that in real depth this morning. But by all means, have a look for yourself. Lots of examples within particularly the Church of England, the Methodist Church, and the Salvation Army of fresh expressions of church, so recognised as church gatherings, where food is right at the centre and used as the means of gathering people. You might find something called Cook at Chapel, a great project for young people. You might find something called Safe Space in Telford. Have a look at that. Lots of different examples within our own denomination as well of where that's starting to happen. Now, we are so, use whichever word you want, privileged, blessed, wealthy, I don't mind, in this church, to have the facilities that we have. Here's a few pictures that will just come up, reminding you of what we've got, but also might remind you of what we used to have as well. I'm told that's the kitchen in Walton. Top left. We dealt with that. That's what this kitchen in this building looked like before our refurbishment. And that's where we've got to. A fully functioning industrial style kitchen, space to serve a really good number of people, paid staff, volunteers, and a functioning cafe. Now, we should be jolly good at this, shouldn't we? We really should. And I think we are. I think we are. However, and I've thought really long and hard for about a week about saying this, okay? But as somebody who doesn't engage with our cafe because I have a full-time job, what I hear out there is negative. I seem to hear far more about how people don't get on with each other, how people don't want to work with certain people for all sorts of reasons, how we don't have enough people to make things happen, how people are falling out with each other. I genuinely sat down and thanked God last week because I spoke to somebody from a completely different church, actually in a different town, who said they had such a positive experience coming into this place. So I sat down and just said, thank you God for reminding me of that. But it's not, as someone who doesn't engage with our facility, it's not the impression that I get. It's not what I hear. And yet I really want to hear the positive stories. I want us to be able to produce video after video after video of Lynette's story. Of somebody who's encountered us in this building and encountered gathering around food or a cafe space and come to know Jesus. Surely, Felix Nocourt, surely, if we're going to use the facilities that we've been blessed with to feed and to share with members of this community, we've got to get it right in here first. We have so many people in this place with hearts who want to love the unlovable, those classed to be the unlovable. We have so many people who just want to keep serving and serving and serving. We've got those who want to see people move from the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy right to the top. Those who are in dire need. And yet sometimes we can't quite make the relationships work in here. I don't say that to make anybody feel uncomfortable. I don't say that to criticize because, as I say, I very rarely see what's going on. I don't have the answers. And I know very little detail of what goes on, but it's felt really important to challenge that this morning as we consider this concept of eating together. If we're going to do that well, we must get it right in here. Shall we look at how we use eating together to positively engage with our community and introduce people to Christ? Because surely that's the point of it, isn't it? Surely that's why Richard and Nikki went to the length that they did to set something up. But they want to see people engage and meet with Jesus Christ. And to do that, it's imperative that we as Christians and followers of Jesus model these kind, loving, generous relationships that Jesus expected his early followers to do. When looking at those verses in Luke 15, we're often talking about a parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. But there's also a meal that happens in this story. There's actually a great, great feast. So, often described as the prodigal son, maybe that younger son is the person who captures the headlines as such. But we need to remember that there's another son and a father shared in this story. Now, in the time of Jesus, if there was a father who had two sons and he died, then property would be passed on, 2/3 to the elder, 1/3 to the younger. A father could, however, pass on parts of his property during his lifetime if he so wished. And in that case, the sons were meant to use the property for the benefit of the whole family. In this particular story, we see the request from the younger son. The father divides his property between them. The younger son proceeds to ignore any further responsibility that he might have to his family, and he capitalizes his assets, and he goes far away where we see that he squanders the money. Disaster strikes, the famine comes, and the younger son is not able to look after himself. He ends up not just having to work for a Gentile, but feeding his pigs, which for Jews was a forbidden occupation with unclean animals. Just as he'd ceased to care for his own family, now nobody looks after him, and all he has to eat is the food of the pigs on his own. It would be fair to say he's hit rock bottom. He comes to his senses, he returns to face his father. His father doesn't wait for him to grovel, but rushes out to welcome him. The son has probably rehearsed what he'll say. He gets as far as saying that he does not deserve to be counted as a son, but the father stops him before he can ask to be treated as a servant. He reinstates him as a son with a new robe, a ring, and sandals, and orders a feast to celebrate. The feast is generous and extravagant. We're told in verse 23 that the calf is one that's been kept and fattened for a very special occasion. The celebration is joyful and fun and accompanied with music and dancing. But of course the story doesn't end there, because there's another son. And he turns out to be quite resentful and jealous. Now, he hasn't capitalized his share of his property. He's stayed at home and he's worked for the benefit of the family. What happens, though, shows that despite outward appearances, he too has become distanced from his father. He doesn't speak respectfully to his father. He criticizes him and he casts aspersions on his brother to make him appear in a worse light. He may be angry that he will lose out by the reinstatement of his younger brother. He refuses to join the celebration. But what does the father do? He goes out to meet him, like he did with the younger son earlier in the story. The father seeks out and rejoices first and looks to sort other things out afterwards. The younger son repents by reconnecting with his father and changing his attitudes and his behaviour. I wonder whether the older son did. We're not told that. I wonder whether you would repent, whether you would change your attitude or your behaviour in that situation. We've been talking about these holy habits, and this is the last holy habit that we'll explore in 2019. And so we've started to look at a number of different things. We've considered what biblical teaching is. We've also looked at prayer, that's where we started. And we've also looked at serving. And there's this concept of how can we connect these things together and include it with eating together. Well, it's quite easy with eating together, because examples of things like Messy Church and Alpha give us the opportunity to sit around a table and share the Bible together. There couldn't be an easier opportunity to pray than when we sit together and share a meal, a prayer of thanksgiving for what's been put in front of us. And what an opportunity to serve through the medium of meals. Maybe that's feeding the lonely, feeding those who just don't have that opportunity for a great meal. Feeding people who are in distress. Feeding families who are struggling. Great opportunities to put those four holy habits together. I'm going to ask Ben and the worship band to come over to us. We want to encourage you in this month where we look at the habit of eating together to do that within your small group. And within this period in October to take that opportunity if you are part of a small group. Please don't forget, if you're not part of a small group, it's not too late. There's always opportunity for us to find a space for you to meet with other people. But then what we're going to ask you to do is in those sometimes very busy weeks, we appreciate between Christmas, so November and December, we're going to challenge you as a small group to look at how you eat together. Can you practice this habit together? Can you share a meal? Maybe somebody within the group will host a meal together. Maybe you might go out somewhere. Perhaps you'll even consider joining some small groups together and sharing a great feast with each other. But why not practice these four habits that we've looked at together within the small group settings? I'm going to read a prayer for you in a moment. Ben's just going to play for us in the background. And then we're going to have the opportunity just to sing really quietly and really delicately a beautiful song. A song perhaps you might be used to it being a little bit more up-tempo. But we're purposely just going to slow that down this morning and give you that opportunity just to consider those words. Take an opportunity to think where we've been from July, August time through to this point, considering some of those holy habits of the early church. How can we connect those things together? And how can we be better agents of the gospel for Jesus Christ? Are people seeing Jesus in you when you're out there? One thing doing it in here, but when you're out there, or when you're in the cafe, or when we're stood on the street corner, or when the band, as it gets to its really busy period in December, is out there with lots and lots of people, do people see Jesus in you? Most loving God, you are the source of all life, the sustainer and renewer of each one of us. We offer our thanks to you for the provision of food to nourish our bodies and for how the opportunity to eat together nourishes our souls. Throughout the history of your people, table fellowship has challenged prejudice. It's broken down barriers and it's created communities. And at the heart of Jesus' ministry was the sharing of food as a taste of your new world. So in the name of Jesus Christ, let us eat together. Let us share our common resources. And let us struggle for a just distribution of all the good gifts around us. Amen. You don't need to sing this morning if you don't want to. The words are going to come up. The guys in the band are going to sing for us. Maybe you just need to sit quietly and consider the words and consider your response to where God wants you to be in this time.
gospel that we know is right in those words there. Jesus rose and conquered the grave. And if you don't know that this morning, then you need to hear it. As a Saviour, Jesus Christ, who died for you, but it didn't just stop there. He rose again. He forgives your sins. He offers eternal life. Maybe you need to hear that this morning. Maybe that's what you need to respond to this morning. Not whether you're going to share a meal with somebody, but maybe it's as simple as accepting Jesus into your life today. Maybe it's as simple as reconnecting with Jesus again. Maybe that relationship that you've had for years, maybe even decades, has drifted. Maybe it's not what it used to be or not what it perhaps could be. And my prayer is that these holy habits just give you a tiny little way to reconnect with God again. Don't miss that opportunity this morning. Within a community of people who support and love each other, take the opportunity to respond if that's what's needed. Thomas, I'm going to suggest we go back to verse 2, please. If you want to sing this morning this beautiful song, please do. And then I suggest perhaps when we get to the chorus and the bridge that if you want to stand, we do that as well. And use that this morning as a great affirmation of who Jesus Christ is in our lives.
Father, we just thank you that you can move my mountains. You are mighty to save. And we just bless and praise you, Lord, for all that you give to us every single day. For your many blessings that you give to us. We are blessed, Lord, to have food and drink. And there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people across this world, across this nation, in our town, who just don't have that. Lord, I just pray that as we consider over this next couple of months the holy habit of eating and sharing together, that we will have the confidence, the joy of being able to share together in fellowship here, but also to share in your joy, in your love, to those who we come into contact with day to day, those who might really need just a word, just a piece of bread to eat, just a cup of coffee to drink. I would pray, Lord, that you will bless us and that you will equip us to be able to go out and to meet those needs. Lord, I pray as we've shared here together this morning that you have spoken into our hearts and into our minds, that we will accept all that you have to offer us and that we will share it gladly with those who we meet. Lord, we just praise you today and thank you for all your blessings, for your harvest of everything. Bless us now, Lord, I pray, as we go into this new week, into this new month, that you will just keep showing us your love and compassion, that we can share that with others. Help us to keep open hearts and open minds to all that you have in store for us. Amen.
there is a need for you to pray with somebody this morning, please do just stay behind afterwards. There are people that will happily do that and take that opportunity with you. And thank you for your sensitivity to that. Let's finish this morning with a great song of the church. A great song about God's love, God's mercy and God's provision. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou will forever be. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's sing this song straight through. Thank you to the band. Let's enjoy this three verses together.
Break bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who have been saved. And Lord, we just thank you once again for the opportunity we've had to worship together. I pray that you'll bless us all now and